This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is the Lenten self-reflection that we've been doing as a congregation these last 3 weeks has been pretty non-threatening. The bad news is that changes today. We've talked a little bit about the history of Mountain of Faith and exploring those first four of our congregational values, and that's been pretty easy to take so far. Because after all, our history is what it is. We're not going to change it, even though that history has made us who we are today. And as far as those values go, the first four are also pretty easy to take. For a church to say they put God first and everything that they do, that's not very controversial. It should be, as one of my former math teachers in college used to say, intuitively obvious to the casual observer. Yeah, put God first. Your church, it makes sense. Let's just do that. And who can argue with outreach? Especially if there are other people who are willing to do it. It's good for a church to do outreach. And outreach is something that I can support even if that's not my particular gift. And then we come to family. You could argue that in Utah it's kind of a no-brainer to say that you support family. Not only has God blessed us with a lot of children as a congregation, but if you're going to do ministry here in this state, supporting families, especially that idea of the greater family of God, that just makes a lot of sense. So why wouldn't we do it? Why wouldn't we put resources toward that ministry? And what's more, we are on firm biblical ground when we, like Jesus, recognize that the family of God is a big, big family. Jesus' idea that everyone who does the will of God is his mother and brother and sister. Having family as a value is a good value for us to have at Mountain of Faith. And finally, just last week, we talked about integrity as one of our core values. And here again, it's pretty easy to at least talk about integrity. We want our yes to be yes and our no to be no. And we want to actually live and strive to live into our faith. We don't want to be the kind of hypocrite that Jesus so roundly criticized, as whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside but filthy on the inside. Now maybe if we stop to really think about it, we can probably come up with some ways that we on the inside are not on the outside the way we would want to be. Maybe that would make us a little bit uncomfortable. But then we remember if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We remember that Luther taught that we are both saints and sinners all at the same time. As Lutherans, we love and we embrace God's unfailing grace. It's near and dear to our heart. And so we can live with integrity knowing that we are fallen sinners, but who are forgiven. That's the good news. But the value we're going to talk about today is spiritual growth. And at first glance, it also seems to be one of those values that should be intuitively obvious that a church should uphold. Because after all, it's one of the most common themes in Scripture. Going all the way back to the Psalms of David or the Proverbs of Solomon, God's people have been encouraged to grow in their relationship with God and their understanding of God. And we see it also in the New Testament. The author of the book of Hebrews and Paul in his letter to the Corinthians talk about for the need for the church to be growing spiritually. Just like a baby starts out drinking milk and then grows and is able to have solid food. As followers of Jesus, we too need to get past that pablum stage in our understanding of who God is and how we relate to Him. God's Word in Hebrews chapter 5 says this. It says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." And we all find ourselves in this situation sooner or later. Turns out that growing mature disciples was a challenge even back in the first century, I guess. And Jesus even found this with his closest disciples. And we see that in our gospel lesson. He gives them this hard saying, these spiritual words about eating flesh and drinking blood. And it flips them out. This was a spiritual teaching. Jesus uses that in his words. And he says it's difficult to understand. And Jesus just watched as the crowds kind of turned their back, shook their head and left. Because what was being said was just too tough for them to grasp. And then when Jesus approaches the 12 and asks, "Do you want to leave too?" At least Peter speaks for them all and says, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life." I guess spiritual growth isn't easy, even when your Bible teacher is the Son of God. Because they were struggling with this. Spiritual growth might be hard, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. I've worked with a lot of churches in the past. And they say they want to value spiritual growth. And you know, the problem isn't saying it. The problem is doing it. And this is where we get into trouble sometimes, especially if we say we have integrity as one of our values. Truth of the matter is that spiritual growth doesn't happen in a vacuum. You don't pick it up through osmosis. It takes individual effort. And I think therein lies the problem. Actually, there are multiple problems and obstacles to spiritual growth. I mean, right off the bat, we might wonder what we're supposed to do in order to grow spiritually. And maybe you, somewhere along the line, have had this same inclination. You know, maybe you decided it would be a good idea to read the Bible. And if you're like me, maybe you just start right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and you sit down and you're going to read the Bible. And then maybe after several days, if you're like me, you actually do get through the book of Genesis. Thank you. And I guess when I was doing it, I even got through the Exodus of the Hebrew people out of Egypt. It shows up in Exodus. But somewhere in Leviticus, maybe after the interminable description of how you sacrifice bulls at the altar of God, you just grind to a halt and give up. It turns out that spiritual growth through self-directed Bible study isn't as easy as you might think. I'm remembering my own process here. I remember reading and lots of times I'd be struggling through something and I'd finish and I'd say, what did I just read? I didn't even know. And then you got to go back and reread it. And then you get a question in your mind and you're trying to resolve that. And before you know it, you're on to a new topic and you forget about the original question. Reading the Bible all on your own is tough stuff. And unless you have a really good study Bible and an easy to understand but accurate translation of the Bible, chances are that trying to grow by plowing through the Bible yourself isn't going to work very well. And here again, if you're like me, you'll find that it's hard to stay on task. It's hard to make yourself do that if you don't feel like you're getting anything from it. And there's another potential obstacle to spiritual growth. Time. Why spend the time reading the Bible if you're not going to grow through it? You know, we live in a hectic world today. We're all busy. We all work hard. That's just the way it is. When the weekend rolls around, I know all too well that Sunday may be the only day you have where you don't have to set the alarm clock. I know how enticing it can be to stay snuggled down in a warm bed until you wake up on your own without the alarm screaming at you. It's tough to get to worship by 10 o'clock. How much tougher would it be to get to adult Sunday school at 9 o'clock? And I also realize that after a tough day at work or after you do everything that you need to do around the house to get things in order, there's just not much energy left to go to a midweek Bible study that starts at 7 in the evening or to some kind of a small group meeting. I realize all that. I wasn't kidding when I said spiritual growth. And a commitment to that is tough. It's going to be a challenge. So what do we do about it? I'm going to suggest to you two possible ways of our need to be growing in faith in our relationship with God. First, as someone very close to me is fond of saying, it's not about trying to do something more. It's not about trying to jam one more thing into an already hectic and overscheduled day. Sometimes we need to be about doing something different instead of something more. In other words, can we just take a look at all those things that take up our time during the course of the day, that keep us so busy, and reprioritize so that we can make some time to tend to our spiritual growth. Do something different instead of something more. And I'm going to suggest to you that Lent is a great time to be rethinking our priorities. We can, in our private prayer time, be asking God to align our will with God's will so that spiritual growth is as important to us as it is to Him. So let's be a little optimistic here. Let's expect that we could find 15 or 30 additional minutes during the day, or maybe even an extra hour one particular day of the week where we could devote that time to our own spiritual growth. Then what would we do? Well, I'm going to suggest that if you have an extra 15 or 30 minutes, that I'd suggest that maybe you just go to the Mountain of Faith webpage. mountainoffaith.net, because there's a really great resource right on that homepage. It's called D365, and it's a daily devotional. It changes every day. And every day, the message has to do with the scriptures that we'll be using in our lectionary that I'll normally be preaching on Sunday. If you use that as a resource, you'd be studying and praying about the exact same passages that we'll be using in worship. And you'll be doing so with a really great Bible teacher. 15 or 30 minutes a day max. I looked at it this morning, 10 minutes. But it's a great resource. And if you could squeeze out an extra hour on the weekend And if you can resist that temptation to stay snuggled down in the warm bed, I'm going to put in a plug for our adult Sunday school. No pablum is served there. But you don't have to be a Bible scholar to appreciate it either. Adult Sunday school is an excellent opportunity to spend some quality time with folks that you worship with, studying together and learning from each other. Show up at adult Sunday school and just expect that the Holy Spirit's going to show up also from time to time. You'll be amazed at the insights that you can get from each other. You know, I have a whole lesson prepared. I have a lot of stuff that I want to say, but it's what comes from the people who are in the class that's the most insightful. The final idea that I want to share with you about tending to our spiritual growth comes right out of the Gospel of Matthew. At the very end of the book, after Jesus has been risen on Easter morning, the women are hurrying away from the empty tomb. They're going to tell the other disciples that Jesus says, go to Galilee. Or the angels told them to go to Galilee. Jesus will meet you there. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to the women. And the story goes like this from Matthew chapter 28. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. The women's immediate response when they see the risen Christ is to worship him. They follow Jesus' feet and worship. And then in that very next verse, we find out how the women head back to tell the rest of the disciples that they will also meet Jesus if they go to Galilee like they've been told. And I just love what happens next in that story. And it comes right at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, and just before Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission. Before Jesus even gives that Great Commission, we read this also from Matthew 28. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And I love this. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But then some doubted. They worshiped him, but some doubted. We should appreciate this for the great good news that it is, folks. The 11 have exactly the same reaction that the women did when they saw the risen Christ. They worship him. But I have to tell you that I just love that our Holy Scriptures are honest enough to tell us that even after some of the 11, after some of Jesus' very closest disciples, after having seen him resurrected, what? They still doubt. There were some in that tiny community of faith whose faith wavered. Did you catch the order of the way things play out here? First, the 11 worship, but some doubt. And that's the key for us here today. Worship. Being with fellow believers. Giving thanks and praise to God is key to our spiritual growth. We get that when we worship together. And yeah, we might find ourselves wondering if the time we spend in worship is worth it. We might wonder if our prayers are being answered. But that's not the issue. The issue is it's good to be in worship together. It's good for us to make an effort to grow spiritually by being together in worship and by pursuing other avenues if we have the time. It's great for us to make that effort. But we can always hang on to this. Scripture tells us, we saw today, that doubts and growth and worship, they're all kind of connected together. We see that clearly in our gospel lesson in those passages from Matthew that we talked about. It's not to angels or perfect believers, but to a worshiping and sometimes wavering community of believers that great commission is given. We are called to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them, helping them grow, that Jesus commanded us. When we do that, the circle is completed. New disciples are made, and they start to grow. And before you know it, they are going and teaching and making new disciples. We want to be part of that process. We need to be part of that process if we're going to be real followers of Jesus. Thanks be to God.